Okay, good afternoon, folks. The Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 102.7 CKMS. And thanks for listening in today. We have nice, good, clear signal these days from our new frequency and transmitter. Thanks for listening in. It is a soggy day of May the 2nd, 2017, episode 189. Today's guest is Janet Harrop, and she's brought on some really super songs here. And we're looking at the playlist, and here's one that probably is not too unfamiliar to people. It's big and rich, and the song is Horse of a Different Color. Save a horse, ride a cowboy. Tell us about this song, Janet. What a great song.
I just like music that has a good beat to it, and it always makes me smile when I hear this song. It's just such a nice, easy-listening song. That's why I like it.
Okay, let's play it, and we'll be right back. Talk to us some more to Janet, and folks, just go out there and freshen up your coffee. We're in for a great afternoon. We'll see you in a short bit. Dum da da dum da da dum da da dum da 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 da.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Singing and bling blinging while the girls are drinking. Long necks down, and I wouldn't trade old Leroy or my Chevrolet for your Escalade or your Freak Parade. I'm the only John Wayne left in this town. And I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy.
That's what she said in the back of my truck bed as I was getting buzzed on suds out on some backcountry road. We were flying high, fine as wine, having ourselves a big and rich time. And I was going just about as far as she'd let me go. But her evaluation of my cowboy reputation had me begging for salvation all night long. So I took her out gigging frogs, introduced her to my old bird dog, and sang her every Willie Nelson song I can think of, and we made love. And I saddle up my horse and I ride him through the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne Richardson from the Rare Charitable Research Reserve in Cambridge. This is Community Radio CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946 or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The WFA represents farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Okay, wow, what a great song, Janet. That does not get your toe tapping. I don't know what would.
Exactly. That's why I love it.
Hardly a dance goes by where, especially the country and western, that they don't at least play that song once. But I'm sure it's getting past its... what's it been around for, three or four?
It's been around a while. Maybe closer to 10 years. It was the most popular, but yeah.
So, Janet, thanks for coming in today. And what a great song. We're looking for the rest of them. Let's start the show as usual and just tell us a little bit about yourself. I guess I could be safe to say you're a country kid at heart.
Yes, I grew up just north of Arthur on a dairy farm. My parents emigrated after the war from Holland. I'm one of seven kids. Grew up on a backside road with dairy, 4-H. Love the agricultural world. Got involved with lots of different groups and...
And the life unfolded after that.
It's interesting how agriculture's changed, especially for women. When I was growing up, I always wanted to be in the barn, and my dad would be sending me back to the house and making my twin brother coming out to the barn, and he wanted to be in the house. And yeah. My father finally relented, and then I was in the barn more than I was in the house, and I loved it. So went on after school, wanted to actually be a vet or a doctor, and growing up on a backside road and an older order European father, it was like women don't become doctors, they become nurses. So yeah. I actually went into nursing and loved the profession. Mm-hmm. Have been able to now kind of marry the worlds and do a lot of... I still work as a nurse in critical care in Guelph, but spend more of my time on our dairy farm.
Yep.
Met my husband and married a dairy farmer, and say to people I knew what I was getting myself into or should have known better. I'm not... Some days I don't know which way to go, but love both jobs and do a lot of the health stuff on our farm because of my other education. It works really well together.
Mm-hmm. And so you and your husband on the farm there, children, grandparents, what's the either side of you there?
We have two kids, a son and a daughter. Our daughter went to school to be a teacher and then got done. And, you know, you hear other people say their kids finish school and then decide they didn't want to do what they did and took in university. I thought that happened to other people. But after a five-year program, she said, I don't think I want to be in front of the classroom and be a teacher. And so she actually did a few other things, and now she's working at Dairy Farmers of Ontario, working in some of the quality programs with her farming background, and mm-hmm. she can talk the talk, she knows. And then our son did a four-year program at Guelph and is now working with us full-time as our herdsman and does all our AI work, all of our animal work, and works really well.
And parents in the picture yet? Yours or your husband's?
Well, my father's still around. He's 96 and as bright and spry as ever. He's in Very Arthur nice. And obviously and still a farmer at heart. We lost my mother some years ago and my father-in-law about a year ago. But my mother-in-law's still around. I can see her property from where we are. So we see her a fair bit. And they've both been pretty important and inspirational in the business life and personal life. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A great story, typical of a lot of Ontario rural farmers are part of a generation, a farm that's been in generations for some time, with some interesting new beginnings and some long-term, multi-generation.
Yeah, my dad tells stories about being in Holland during the Second World War with a horse and wagon picking up cans of milk. That was his job then, with a white flag on the back of his wagon, and some of the coming to Canada with $25 in his pocket and him and my mom and two small kids and not knowing the language.
Yeah.
And then my in-laws moving from the Milton area as the town started to grow around them and trying to figure out where they were going to move to. And a lot of people say, why did they pick Fergus? And, you know, people will say, well, It's because of the river. It's because of the town. It's because of the people. And they actually looked at a geographical map of soils, and because they were tired of farming with the heavy red clay of Milton, and kind of looked and said, this is where I want to farm. And they picked Fergus because of the Huron loam soil that's so well-drained and fertile. So,
yeah. Good choice.
Yeah, and the farm is pretty productive for sure.
Still lots of farmers up in your part of the world there, but I suspect like most rural places in Ontario, there's a significant immigration of our urban neighbors who want to find a little piece of the country. What's it like up there?
Absolutely. We actually have quite a few, quote, retirement lots around us that we can see. So we have pretty good neighbors, but we do have some, it does cause some limitations for building and expansion and that kind of thing. I mean, there haven't been lots allowed for some time. That's made a big difference of the urban landscape. I mean, Fergus Allura is growing significantly, and we're having a lot of people that, as prices go up, they're moving further and further north.
Yep.
Fergus Allura is not pretty close to Toronto, Kitchener, Waterloo, Guelph, that there's a lot of people, and some of them want that urban experience, and they think they want to live in the country until a few have lived in the country and recognize the costs and the distance and the driving and just everything. And it's interesting to have conversations with these people and talk about what running an agricultural business really means.
That's how we get our message out about agriculture. And looking forward to our second part, we talk a little bit more about that. Like, what do you do?
Yes.
Okay, let's play this song first. I see the Carpenters is on this, and they long to be close to you. That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever had a chance to see these guys play? Are you a concert goer?
No. I mean, they were a little bit before my time in the sense of being able to go and see them. I just thought they have I'm inspired by people that just have a natural gift. And both of them, especially Karen Carpenter herself, had just an amazing voice that everything she did was just beautiful. Sometimes when I've had a long day at one job or another and I have a bit of a drive, I'll throw their CD on and just kind of get lost in the music, and it just clears your head. And I just think their songs are beautiful.
We're looking for that same effect now.
Okay.
We'll play it. We'll read back.
Okay.
Okay.
Do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time? Decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair and golden starlight in your eyes of blue. That is why all the girls in town follow you. Follow you all around.
like me. Close to you.
Hi, I'm James Otto from the region of Waterloo. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. We are streaming live on FM band 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo on the Rogers Digital Station Network at 946 and on the internet at soundfm.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at soundfm.ca. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The WFA represents farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, compassion, and it's emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of farmer with the policy needs of society.
Okay, and we're back. And thanks for listening in, folks. Hope that coffee's all warmed up. We're going to keep on with our show today. It's episode number 189 of May 2nd, 2017. Today's guest is Janet Harrop. And we have had a chance to talk a little bit with Janet about what she does. And we determined that she is indeed a farm kid.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And now in our second section, we want to talk a little bit about what she does. And maybe first of all, tell us, I'm assuming you're a dairy farmer.
Yes, I am a dairy farmer. And I've always been involved in the community. It kind of has evolved as my kids were smaller and I was involved with them with their sports and hockey and soccer and skating. It gave me a great opportunity to kind of meet a lot of people, get into some leadership roles, and now that my kids are a little older, now I'm a bit more involved in the business side of things. So I've been involved with our local Chamber of Commerce for quite a few years because it had a real focus of downtown retail, and mainly retail businesses, and kind of wanted to get out there to the general public that agriculture is a huge business in Wellington County.
Yeah.
And in order to be able to kind of get that voice out there, I always kind of say, don't complain, get involved. So I got involved with our local chamber and met some amazing businesses, have been able to talk a lot about agriculture and its contribution to the community and the economic impact of agriculture in the community and the economic viability of it and what it does. So yeah. People are like, oh, there's agriculture in our community? And yes, there's a lot. So I talk that up all the time and got involved with our local Wellington Federation of Agriculture. Again, I've been a director on it for a number of years, wanting to kind of bring that agricultural voice forward and learn more. You get to meet great people, learn things, a chance to chat with the politicians about agriculture and why it's important and the priorities and the concerns. And so, yeah, it's been great learning, great opportunity to meet people and be a bit of a, be a voice for agriculture.
Well, what a great idea to get involved with the Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, just to point out the obvious, there is business in the countryside. It is farming.
Yes.
Some people, you know, the good news is, you know, kind of people take it for granted. Everything's okay. And we've done pretty good over the years as farmers with that kind of approach that, you know, go about my business, you about yours, and away we go. But did you ever think that part of being a farmer is getting out talking about your business?
No, and I think we all, as agricultural owners, do a great job at our jobs, but we don't toot our own horn very much, so people don't know the amazing environmental things we're doing, energy saving things we're doing, animal stewardship, welfare things that we're doing, the work that's being done the county, provincial, federal level in some of the different commodity groups, and we've been pretty involved with 4-H over the years. Our son now is leading a program, club in the area. Mm-hmm. So six of our animals are going to be going to some of the shows, and my husband's been involved at the board level of Dairy Farmers of Ontario and Dairy Farmers of Canada. So that's a big part of our daily work, because he's gone a fair bit with that. And as a spokesperson, you get to hear a lot of the things that are going on. And right now in the media, there's a lot going on with dairy, and a lot of really good stuff going on in Canada that we need to talk about more, because there's a lot of misinformation around the world as to how our system works and mm-hmm. how it works for everybody.
You know, what you're talking about is our new president of the States, Mr. Trump, has mentioned the Canadian dairy. And, at first glance, it seems like here we go under attack. But, you know, it occurred to me, wow, this is a great opportunity to tell people how good the system is.
Yeah.
Like, how could you get such an opportunity to tell the story of agriculture if someone else has done all the work of getting people? You got to kind of look at this in the bigger picture where what looks like a slap in the face is actually an opportunity. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And my off-farm job, I get to talk in a lot about agriculture and dairy, because there's people that don't have a background of agriculture have a totally different understanding. And when you talk about the different systems in the different parts of the world and compared to Canada, and how the pricing system particularly, and how it's different than the Canadian farmers, the money we get for our milk is what we get paid for our milk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes out the laneway, and twice a month we get paid for that volume of milk. And a lot of other places around the world, they get paid quite a bit less, and then the government has to support them with farm bills. So mm-hmm. as a taxpayer and a consumer, you're paying for it in the store, and then you're helping to support those farmers financially with your taxes. So when you explain it that way to people, they go, oh, so that means you don't get subsidized by the government. We're like, no, because we get a fair price that we sell it for. The process, we get a share about based on our cost of production. Processors get their share. The consumer pay their share. Everybody along the way gets a share, and it works well for everybody.
Yeah, our prime minister, he pretty had a good grasp, but I thought it was, all countries support their agriculture, just a different way of doing it. And then what is the point of saying the other guy's wrong when everyone does it just in a different way? So.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it recently said there's no such thing as free trade when it comes to agriculture, and I thought that was really well put, because everybody's pretty protectionist about their agriculture. They have to be, because people have to eat, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you can't take the risk.
No.
It would be odd. I think most people get it that, it's cheaper to buy all our food from around the world, but the level of possibility of like severe disruption just looms in the face that things could stop coming overseas. What are we going to do then?
Yeah, and the Canadian Food Inspection Agency that kind of governs our what we do in terms of quality. They're very good. Like we have pretty high, really high standards of quality. So when you have a Canadian product, whether in our industry it's milk, but I know a lot of the other commodities as well, meat and chickens, eggs, that type of thing. The standards are so high, if you're getting a Canadian product, that there's pretty stringent rules in place to make sure that that food is safe and highest of quality.
So you're busy getting back to what you do. You're a dairy farmer. Are you still in the Chamber of Commerce?
Still in the Chamber of Commerce,
and
yes.
The Federation of Agriculture.
Federation of Agriculture.
Do anything else you got cooking there?
Well, that's the one thing with agriculture. You become a bit of a jack of all trades. So, like I said, with my healthcare background, I do a lot of our vet work, some of the work that we used to have our vet come and do. And, of course, I know my limitations and that. I do a lot more of the animal care side of things, and I find just the books, the government mm-hmm. stuff. I'm certified in nutrient management, so I do all of our nutrient management work. So balancing all of the nutrients that go in the soil, all of the crops that come off the land, and balancing those to know that we put the right amount of nutrients on at the right time. I do all of that. And then the requirements now for HR, for like employees and WMIS and health and safety all that stuff. I'm spending more and more of my time in the office. It's all important. It's all really important. So I'm never lost for something to do is what I'll say. And people say, my father will always say to me, you're doing too much. You need to give up something. And I go, I love all the jobs I do, so I don't know which one to give up. Although sometimes working a 12-hour night shift at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when you kind of hit that wall, you kind of think, maybe this one, but that's kind of fleeting because I really do enjoy that job as well.
It's really cool you have that nursing background and health background. That's a new topic nowadays, too. Runs the gamut all the way from the traditional weak knees of dairy farmers all the way to the nowadays the mental health is a big issue. So there's been some really, you know what, we had a workshop just recently about mental health.
Yeah.
And I think that went over pretty well. So, you know, this is the kind of skill set you have for these types of things that happen on the farm. So that's good.
Yeah, cool. We just, this past, a year ago now, we were in a partnership with my husband's brother, and we bought the farm in a good way. When I said to somebody, we bought the farm, that doesn't sound good.
But
We bought the farm and are on our own now, and it is interesting because I've heard farming can sometimes be quite isolating, and when you live on the farm, you work on the farm, and one of the things, we all have some outside interests, but I've seen my son, the involvement of being done school and now being home on the farm and very easily losing contact with some of his friends because he's working so many hours, and that balance. And a lot of it, I've set up, I try to do it weekly. It doesn't happen weekly. Sometimes it happens on a monthly basis that we all sit down, talk about the business, talk about the plans, the goals, what's bugging us, what we like, what we don't like, all that kind of thing, so that there's a sounding board. Because farming can be quite isolating. I mean, there's not a lot of people that drive in the laneway. And when they do, they're usually there wanting to sell you something, or but not a lot of social interaction. So your mental health, just generally is huge, and those coping skills and being able to figure out how to talk things out is pretty valuable.
Sounds like a good thing going there. That's
great. Yeah, yeah. We try.
That's all the best we can do.
That's all you can do.
I know. Let's play another song, Janet, and we'll come back and talk some more about agriculture and things. And so the next one on the list is Mr. Andy Gibb. And I just want to be your everything. Golly, what the heck's going on here? What's this song about? Tell us about it.
I'm a little bit of love story at heart, kind of like kind of sap, I guess you want to call it. I love a good love song, and just warms your heart. And again, just another talented person, just like Karen Carpenter, who we lost way too early in life. And interesting when we're talking about mental health, but Andy as well, just a beautiful voice, just so much energy to watch him sing. And you can tell when he sings, just loves what he does. So again, just another song that I really like to listen to.
Okay, let's cue this up and we'll come back and talk some more. It's May 2nd, 2017, episode 189. Today's guest is Janet Harrow. See you in a short bit.
For so long, you and me been finding each other for so long, and the feeling that I feel for you is more than stronger. Take it from me, if you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key. Darling mine, I would wait forever for those lips of wine. Build my world around you, darling, this love will shine, girl. Watch it and see, if you give a little more than
not some puppet on a string.
Hi, I'm Janet Harrop from just north of Fergus. This is CKMS 102.7 Talk Radio Waterloo. You're listening to the Agricultural Show, sponsored by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
And that's what we're doing, Janet. Thanks for saying that. You'll be on this station for some time, as long as we keep this show going. I have to apologize to you and my listeners. I have forgotten my clipboard with the nice full-blown description on, but you will be there.
That makes my life easy. I got the short version.
Yeah, you did. When people look at the long version, they're like, God.
Yeah.
We've had great fun so far, Janet. We got to know a little bit more about you. I get the marbles on my mouth on first segment. And you and your husband and two kids and grandparents and busy farming away there. And you wear many hats, including Chamber of Commerce and Federation of Agriculture and yep. And still a career in nursing, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to start a third segment here where we talk a little bit about what would you tell people at agriculture. Now, of course, we kind of covered a lot of those things in the meantime, but we'll start there. But I just kind of, it occurs to me, your music's great. Do you go to concerts? Or do you have a small music collection? Are you a car radio listener only?
I'm a little bit of a car radio listener. I do throw some songs on my iPhone and listen to them. Some favorites. I just really like easy listening, soft rock, modern country, just something to listen to kind of use a different part of your brain. I just some easy listening, kind of relaxing kind of music. I'm always inspired by people that just have that natural ability to sing and play and make people relax. I just enjoy that.
That's a good point. Music is a special thing for lots of people. It's just take a little break, just kind of pick up a different mood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a chance to go to any concerts? Are you going to the church choir at church, or do you find yourself in Toronto for the big shows?
I don't get to a lot of concerts. I love music, but I find with the different jobs that I do, I don't seem to find a lot of time. I mean, I try to, the Scottish Festival in Fergus and the Truck Show, but unfortunately it's no longer. I've had some concerts. The Alora Festival Singers have some concerts. I try to go to those and don't always make it, always have intentions of, and then it seems to be cropping time and you don't always know what your schedule is going to be. But I tend to be more of a radio listener, and if there's something going on, we tend to go to different meetings from Dairy Farmers of Ontario and Dairy Farmers of Canada, and lots of times they'll have an entertainment segment after the banquet, and so if there's music, you get to listen then. It's great. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And because we all come with different attitudes, so some that's it. This car radio, if it's on.
Yes.
And others aren't afraid to commit at least one day a week to something new in music.
Yeah.
It's quite...
I need to start committing a little more to hobbies. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of my next question here.
Yeah.
If you had time for hobbies, what would they be?
I've always wanted to try like painting or sculpting or pottery or that kind of thing. I've always done some sewing, love sewing. When my daughter was skating, I made all of her costumes, really enjoyed that. And my machines sit downstairs kind of quiet because I tend to be putting my time into other things. But I like doing things with my hands. And I'd love to try my painting and pottery. And someday I probably will. But not right now. The dairy cows are kind of my priority at the moment.
Now, that's okay. And there's time for those other things. And I know I have friends that got to go and they all get together in a bar. And then the artist brings along a sample picture, and then everyone's supposed to draw the same picture.
Yeah.
I guess these are quite fun nights out, you know.
Because
even this one picture, everyone has. How many different ways can you draw a vase, a flower, and a rock?
Yes.
And
people do. Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's right.
Well, we look forward to maybe finding out all kinds of cool things you'll do eventually, like that. Those hobbies and music. That's good to know. So this part of our show, I'll get back on track a bit, but not that we weren't, but still, I'm thinking you'd be really a good... If I asked you the question, what would you tell about people at agriculture, we could probably take another couple of 3 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
And that ranges all the way from, boy, someone asked me if brown cows give brown milk, and some of the people mentioned those great aha moments when they explain to somebody something and... Well, what would you tell people about agriculture?
Well, I think I don't like using the gender card, but I do know being a woman in agriculture, it has changed a lot over the years, but it's still very stereotypical. I'll still get the phone calls from producers or different people that are calling, and they'll are one of the men there, and I used to kind of say, oh, can I help you? And now I'll give my husband the message, he'll call them back, and of course they'll ask him a question that he doesn't know the answer to, and they put me back on the phone, and then I'm kind of like, the take-home message to that is, you know, I see so many people in agriculture, and that stereotypical middle-aged man in the coveralls, it's so changed because primary producer agriculture, like hands-on looking after animals agriculture, it's hugely important, but it's becoming a smaller and smaller part of the big picture of agriculture because the different companies that we deal with that are all over the world, that, you know, whether it's technical stuff or nutrition or feeding or agronomy for our crops or seed, or we use all artificial insemination for our dairy animals. So whether it's genetics from all over the world, I mean, we're dealing with every age and gender and country and commodity and from all over the world. So I think the message I would have is people, when they hear farmer, they have the stereotypical picture in their head of what that means.
Right.
And the world of agriculture is so much bigger. And I think that's what I... And especially some of the kids that are trying to decide what they want to do for a career, because they kind of think... When you talk agriculture, again, they think hands-on animal husbandry, right? And some of the other sides of agriculture and the different opportunities for careers and very interesting careers that involve a lot of understanding, a lot of travel, a lot of technical, and well-paying jobs, too. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I talk about, because we're using more and more advice from all over the place. We're very fortunate to be so close to the University of Guelph and access to some of their research and their library of articles and published research that's out there. And we're close enough and large enough. Our farm, right now we're milking about 110 cows. We're large enough that the University of Guelph like us, because they come out and do some research on our farm in different areas. Mm-hmm. And we can garner some information from that research at the end. And so we're really fortunate to be such a close hub, to close to Toronto, close to Waterloo. Like, we were an hour to an hour and a half from just about any center. So, mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned about the young people in agriculture. So I had a guest on one time. He's from the Outdoor Farm Show.
Right.
And they had a great observation, said, you know what, if you got a youngster, a teenager, doesn't know what they want to do, just bring them down to our show for a day.
Yeah.
Boy, there is enough technology and science there.
Yeah.
You know, drones and big machinery and computers.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense when you think of it, right? You see this is the other part.
Yeah, there's crops, there's animals, there's equipment, there's a little bit of everything there, and they can walk around and say, well, that's pretty cool. You know, let me go in and, I mean, our account manager, for instance, mm-hmm. from the bank, he was saying, like, the kids that are graduating from the degree agriculture program, ag business,
right.
that have a farming background, he says they're finding them really hard to find. And I remember my first job interview in nursing, when I interviewed for this job, and they knew I had graduated, and they knew I had some experience, and then they heard I grew up on a dairy farm, and my manager, her family had a dairy farm background, and she says, okay, you're hired. I know if you grew up on a farm, you know how to work.
Right.
And I recently heard somebody say, too, kids that have a background in 4-H, that they're really easy to employ as well, because part of 4-H is being able to explain and understand from the judging side of things, observing, standing back, forming an opinion and explaining that opinion.
Right.
And a lot of, it's almost like the debate club. You know, a lot of kids don't learn how to do that. And
right.
it's such an important thing in any job.
Yeah. Good. Those are great observations. It's true. We're talking about interesting work. We're talking about the skills you learn when you're in agriculture.
Yeah.
You have issues to be able to decide, make decisions, move ahead on them.
Yeah.
So good opportunity for young people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're so lucky. We're close to some big cities. Like, we're in the Kitchener-Waterloo region, 500,000 here. And then Guelph has got, how many people live in Guelph now? They're like 200,000 or something?
I think around 200,000. That'd be a guess, too, yeah.
You know, So we're lucky you can have the best of both worlds, and you can come out to the countryside and get all kinds of cool stuff, and even buy some local food, talk to farmers. It's a good deal.
Well, the weather, too. I find where Fergus area, where we are, if you look at a map, we're like right plunk in the middle of southern Ontario. I always say we're in the center of the universe, because I'm biased. But
I live in the center of the universe.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Go ahead.
But because of it, some of the lake effect,
right.
it just comes to the edge of us. There's water enough around us that it buffers some of that. I mean, we don't get the extreme highs and lows. A friend of ours that's down towards London area, he was talking about wanting to move, because he said it's dry, really dry, and then you get these streamers in the winter, and I'm tired of the snow. He was more tired of the snow. And I go, well, come to our area, and then I don't know whether he will or not, but I was describing it, and he goes, that sounds very good. It's not that far away, right?
Yeah,
it's just a bit different, yeah.
Well, that's a good story, and it's very true. You obviously get a chance to talk to people at the Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
And this is urban people who, you know, are not totally unfamiliar with agriculture, because it is a rural township.
Yeah.
But having said that, that's one step closer to talking to decision makers, consumers.
Yep.
Anything cool happen in that bunch? You know, one of those aha moments, or just a chance to speak about agriculture to a larger group? What's happening there?
Yeah, well, through the Chamber of Commerce, we've had business after hours at our farm, being able to show them around. People are rather amazed that we have computers in our barn, which I kind of chuckle at, because the technology in agriculture is huge. When they see our robotic feed pusher that goes out every hour and pushes the feed up in front of the cows so that they have access to feed all the time, day and night, they're like, well, what is that? And it came from Holland, and, you know, and it's a local company that's in Fergus that supplies it. So I think as a voice of agriculture, we're getting, being a counselor, a municipal counselor, is a tough job. It's a lot of work. People are calling you all the time, complaining, and I think it's harder and harder for people that are in agricultural to take the time to be a local counselor because of the time commitment, if they're still running the hours that we run, right? And so saying that, like in the northern part of the Wellington County, we were really fortunate, but center Wellington and south, there's less, and there's very few people that have an understanding of agriculture that are on those councils, whether it's municipal or county. So it's really important to have that voice. And I know from the Federation, I represent the Federation at the County Economic Development, and then I represent the Chamber at our local municipal economic development. And just talking about the needs of agriculture and talking about the red tape, and one of the aha moments was the number of ministries that farming falls under. We're in the Grand River Conservation Authority. So we have GRCA, you know, your Ministry of the Environment, Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, you know, the Labor. There's so many different ministries. And when one of the things I've really been kind of trying to push for is at our municipal level is sort of that, and they've worked really hard and moved towards this, is like a one-stop shop. So as a farmer, you want to do a building project, or you want to do something and you're not sure where to go, as opposed to historically, you used to be, oh, I don't want the township to know I'm doing something, so I'm going to try to do it under the radar, right? As opposed to that mindset, to kind of trying to change things to say, you know, they're a resource, and you go to them and say, this is what you want, what I need to do. And then they'd say, okay, these are your setbacks, these are your requirements, these are your timelines, these are the different ministries that you have to deal with, this is the timeline you're going to have in order to be able to build your projects, so that you don't get your contractor and everything and your designs and your engineering and everything done, and then your bottleneck and your holdup is that ministry level, whether mainly municipal level, right? So try to kind of create those relationships so that people know and aren't afraid to go to the municipal level to get help.
True. Yeah.
So I've done a lot, tried to do a fair bit of work on that, and it's, I think I'm kind of having a little bit of an impact. That's all you can hope to do, right?
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of us is very lucky. It's unreasonable to expect they'll also just like this before and after. It's just a gradual building momentum and foundations to move to the next step.
Yeah.
And that's what life gives us, so that's good.
Well, recently our economic development person who was from the region of Waterloo, she says, I know nothing about agriculture. And I go, you know, you really don't have to know a lot about agriculture. You need to understand business. And you need to understand that agriculture is business. And whatever supports business need are the same things that agriculture needs. And just some of the things are a little bit more unique, right?
Right.
And so trying, I know a lot of people now are trying to figure out agriculture. You know, with some of the mandates provincially around jobs in agriculture and that kind of thing, a lot of the municipalities are saying, hey, agriculture is huge. We need to increase jobs. And they're trying to understand it. It's not something you can easily understand, right? And so just trying to support businesses so that they can grow with the least amount of bottlenecks is really all that the municipalities and counties can do.
Yeah. Well, you have a good perspective on this stuff, and you're aware of how these things connect up and what it takes to do them. So that's a good deal. You know, there's lots of folks out there. They should bring back civics and citizenship in school, so
that'd be good.
More people would just participate again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to say it's just not worth it, but no, it is.
Well, I didn't. I know that the agriculture Ontario Federation of Agriculture has done this 6x16.
Yeah, that's a cool program.
Yeah.
Did you get involved with that at all? Or?
A little bit, just at the plowing match, trying to educate a little bit. And so, you know, 16 meals that you can cook by the age of 16 to get kids involved and understand where their food comes from, because, you know, they think their food comes from the grocery store, but understanding where their food really comes from and starting that education as kids as far as food and the value of food. And you've seen a whole change in food. And I, you know, the milk as a whole food, it's like water, it's fat, it's carbohydrates, it's protein, it's got everything, a whole food, and the value of that, I mean, it's come full circle, you know. Who knew that a curl of butter on the front of a McLean's magazine would do what it did a few years ago, when all of a sudden butter wasn't so bad anymore, right? And it's huge. And so, yeah, the education at all different levels is really important.
And I'm glad you could tell us that story, and then I hope our urban listeners can hear that and say there's cool stuff happening out there, and be much more, you know, content and not have to worry so much about what's going on in the countryside. They're working away at things, and glad to tell our story.
Yes.
Let's play another song. We're doing pretty good here, Janet. We're about an hour into our show, so that's not bad. And we want to do a couple more things yet. So I'm going to play a song. This is from my own collection here, because we ran out of Janet's stuff because the one song didn't work the way we wanted to, so we played three.
Yeah.
Now, I've got one here. This is, we'll play this and come back. This is, the artist is Red Foley, and the song is called The Milk Bucket Boogie.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll be right back, folks. Just stay locked and see you in a short bit.
The old alarm clock says, wake up, Doc. I jump out of bed and I hit the floor. I gotta get busy and do the morning chore. It's the milk bucket boogie. It's a wonderful sound. Oh, the milk bucket boogie, when the milk comes streaming down. Milk bucket and I swing it on my arm. I'm in a big hurry to get to the barn. Greet old Jersey with a good, good morn. Fatten her up on the best of corn. It's the milk bucket boogie. It's a wonderful sound. Whirl the milk bucket boogie when the milk comes streaming down. She eats mighty hearty and it must be good, cause she gives enough milk for the whole neighborhood. It's the milk bucket boogie. It's a wonderful sound. Whirl the milk bucket boogie when the milk comes streaming down. Happy, she never complains. Winter, summer, she never does change. Stays so fat and she never goes dry. She won the blue ribbon at the county fair. Here's the milk bucket boogie. It's a wonderful sound. Whirl the milk bucket boogie when the milk comes streaming down.
I'm Owen Roberts from the GMOs. You are listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
And we're back. And thanks for listening in, dear listeners, to our show today. It's episode number 189, and it's May 2nd of 2017. Janet Harrop is our guest today, and we're now into our second last segment, which is kind of like a wrap-up of the show. And so just to review, you know, we're talking in between, of course, we always do, but so our listeners, just to keep up, you know, Janet and her husband are farming up way up there in Fergus. And besides wearing the hat of a farm operator, Janet is a nurse at the local hospital, involved with politics with the Federation and the Chamber of Commerce, has hobbies and interests that someday she'll be able to do.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully, that's the plan.
And then we talked a little bit about, you know, general agriculture things, education for young people, opportunities for a career, just a whole raft of stuff. Now, So we were just talking, Janet, and you mentioned agriculture. If you had to think of one more topic, would be being proactive versus reactive.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So the Canadian Dairy Farmers of Canada have tried. They've done a lot of work over the last number of years to try to standardize some things in the dairy world. And they came up with a program called Canadian Quality Milk. And dairy farmers are really great at doing their job, but they are often really brutal at writing it down. And like in a lot of industries, and I know we talk about that in our own business, that whole adage, if you walked off a sidewalk and got hit by a Mack truck, that knowledge that you have and you don't write it down, and somebody else has to kind of keep doing your job. And when you're a business of one or two people, that makes it really, really tough. So, mm-hmm. What this program, Canadian Quality Milk, did was try to standardize some of the standard operating procedures of what we do, why we do it, how we do it, that kind of thing. They've now expanded it to this program called ProAction. And this ProAction's has a milk quality component, has an animal welfare component that looks at the animals, the housing, you know, how clean they are, you know, how they walk, what just general body condition they're in, and there's an environmental component that will be coming down in a few years that is essentially similar to our environmental farm plan, looks at fuel storage, chemical storage, waterways, wells, all mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Yeah. It's different animal traceability component to it, which we will to be able to trace through. All of our animals have radio frequency chipped ear tags in their ears, so you can wave a scanner in front of that ear chip and it will tell you where that animal was born and how old they are and all that kind of thing. And I always kind of hear some jokes made about the fact we know where all the cows and beef animals are. We don't know where a lot of the people are. Yeah. So, yeah. But the traceability of that, of the animals, to be able to know where they came from, where they are, where they're going, that kind of thing. And so people as farmers will say, you know, that's more paperwork. Why do we have to do this? Like, we just want to look after our animals, and they do a great job of looking after the animals. And with less and less people actively hands-on in agriculture, the last stat I heard was 1.7% of the population is hands-on in agriculture. People don't always understand where their food comes from, and there needs to be a level of accountability that's always been there. It's just now formalizing it and documenting it. And so this program that's being developed, it's across Canada, so it's standardized across all the different provinces, which is a great thing and not an easy task to do, because like people, everybody thinks they're unique and the provinces think they're unique and they have unique needs. But when you look at in healthcare, we say the same thing. A person's a person is a person. And in my agricultural life, a cow is a cow is a cow. And yeah, they are, have their own little unique things and things that happen with them. But in a whole, you treat them all relatively the same. The diseases are the same. Treatment is the same, that kind of thing. So from a consumer confidence, knowing where the products come from,
right. What's gone. You can show this, this trail.
Yeah,
and what's
you can show them. And a lot of work's been done. I know antibiotic resistance and that type of thing is huge in the people and animal world. And the Canadian Food Inspection Agency has taken drugs off of our formulary that have similar makeup to some of the antibiotics used in people and to prevent those types of things. And again, standard operating procedures for the use of antibiotics, and none of that milk gets into the consumers, but again, showing that, that what we do to make sure that that doesn't happen. So it's a great program. Our daughter, working at Dairy Farmers of Ontario, is right in the trenches of helping to develop it and calls her mom every now and then and says, hey, how does this work? What should we do about that? So it's a really good good relationship there. And I think in the end, the product that comes out is going to be pretty user-friendly and useful.
You know, this makes you think, you know, the granddaddy of this was probably the Gold Quality Awards.
Yep.
That program's been around for a long time.
Long time. That's still going on. Yep.
And individual farmers are recognized for having either really quality levels or being able to maintain high quality levels.
Yeah.
And I think it's even awarded on a county level too, isn't it?
It is. Every year there's a county. And the highest person, well, actually, I guess the highest quality, which means the lowest number in terms of the monitoring levels, gets recognized in each county every year and is awarded a, that, and that's huge because
The idea of looking at of monitoring your production and keeping track of it and doing things about it, that's not this is another proaction plan is on top of that.
On top of that,
right?
So that we can show the consumer and assure the consumer that we're doing our due diligence and that there's things in place that that the milk is the highest quality, because our standards in even between Canada and the U.S., the standards in the in Canada are quite a bit more restrictive in terms of the quality of milk. And as we've heard, I mean, the quality of milk in the U.S. If there's milk they don't like, they just don't take it. I mean, they do the same here if it's poor quality. But
we have standards that are required,
and it doesn't leave the farm if it's poor quality. But we do have a market for all of the good quality milk, which we're fortunate to have.
Well, I'm glad you thought about to mention that program, Janet. It's great, and that's the whole reason why we have this little segment where we talk about, you know, things we didn't cover in our first part of our show. So, so you remain optimistic?
I do. Yeah, I think you know, our Canadian program, our pricing program for milk is developed so that whatever the, when we talked about this a little bit earlier, you know, whatever money is made at the farm level is trickles its way down from the farm to the processor, and then the consumer is paying a fair price. In that, in all of those levels, there's no government subsidization. So rather than have rock bottom prices below our cost of production and then the government having to subsidize us with farm bills, we're fortunate as a business. It's pretty impossible when you know you're not going to make enough money to cover your bills to create any kind of business plan and any kind of future goals. And that's what a lot of dairy producers in the rest of the world are dealing with.
It's hard to get ahead when you're just trying to get day through day to day.
Well, I was chatting with a gentleman who traveled down to Australia, and he was seeing in Australia, New Zealand, their pricing system now every month they're losing equity. They're not even covering their costs, and they're losing equity. And
that's pretty tough to handle.
Well, the suicide rate is really high. Yeah. People are walking away from their farms. I mean, that's not something we want to see in Canada. So the system we have treats everybody fairly. So the government sees that and recognizes it doesn't cost them anything, and that in itself will be something that will help support the system staying in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you're keeping up with this, and you are where you are in the scheme of things, and an advisory role and production role and mentoring, and so good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does your daughter ever phone up and say, well, about dairy? And then, by the way, how do I wash my clothes?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She's like, you know, my daughter will say, now I hear myself saying things and I hear you being echoed. And I thought things you used to say and do that kind of, I thought, oh, well, I'll never do that. And now I'm doing the exact same things. And I just smile and don't have any grandkids yet. But I think someday when that happens, I'll be able to smile a little bit more. My husband's looking forward to being able to spoil them and teach them bad things and then send them home.
Well, that's pretty straightforward.
Yes.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad. Lots to be optimistic and look forward to. Sounds like,
yes,
a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's play another song, and we'll come back with our final segment. And I'm just grabbing some more songs that came off of a previous show. And this song is called the Cow Cow Boogie, and the group is called Campus 5. Kind of fun. So we'll play this one, come back, and finish off our show with Janet here, and hope you're enjoying your afternoon, dear listeners, and we'll see you shortly.
Out on the plains, down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day, and as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. A come a to yi yi, come a to yip titty yi. Get along, get hip, little doggies, get along. Better be on your way. Get along, get hip, little doggies. And he trucked them on down the old fairway, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a to yi yi, come a to yip titty yi, singing his cowboy song. He's just too much. He's got a knocked out western accent with a Harlem touch. He was raised on local weed. He's what you call a swing half breed, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a to yi yi, come a to yip titty yi. Strangest way, come to yi yi yi.
comata yip diddy aye.
Hello, this is the Tugboat from the Tugboat.ca. Community Radio CKMS is the voice of the community by the community. I support CKMS 100.3 SoundFM.ca because it's the real deal.
Okay, and we're at that was a previous endorsement by a guest. We are 102.7 CKMS Radio, Radio Waterloo. And we're located in Kitchener at the old Beamer Box Factory on Brightup Street. And you're welcome to stop by, see our studios if you like, be a guest. Always glad to have people speak about agriculture or just whatever you're doing. And today's been no exception. Been great fun. Janet Harris been our guest this episode number 189. And so our last segment here, Janet, is one of my favorite questions. And I'll ask you what are you doing the next 2 hours and 2 days and 2 weeks and 2 months, 2 years? Go ahead.
Well, 2 hours, we're having a Wellington Federation of Agriculture meeting tonight. So okay. I'm milking cows and then heading to that meeting. Next 2 weeks, hoping.
Two days.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm jumping ahead. 2 days, yeah. Watching the weather forecast, hoping that it's going to dry up. But
yeah, get some planning done, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've always got lots going on in my office. I got a bunch of HST and real glamorous jobs and payroll and all that kind of stuff to do in my office. So, gonna work away at that. We're getting some windows replaced, so I have to start getting some rooms dismantled so they can get out the windows. So I need to work on that and. Always do all the animal work. Next 2 weeks, I'm hoping we've got our grass seed in. We got our seeded down alfalfa in before the rain.
Yeah, we had some good days there.
About a little more than a week ago, we got it in, and then now just hoping to do lots of barn work in that, so that I get my husband out of the barn and on the tractor. We do our own liquid manure handling, so he's got to get out and get the manure out, so that we, so that we can get corn in. And there's always flower beds and just regular. We have one building that we're doing some renovations on for some to put some 4-H calves in. You know, one of the things we're running out of space in our barn where. A lot of, with the increased quota that's come in the last little while, a lot of dairy barns are at their max. And so now we have a bunch of 4-H kids coming and calves going to and from shows. We have to try to figure out a spot to put them so they're a little bit segregated. So when they come back from a biosecurity perspective, that they're not mingling with everybody else. So we're having to do some work on a building in order to get ready for that. So, one of my other jobs at the hospital is I do the math of the scheduling for about 75 staff. So we're finalizing the summer schedule, which is always controversial because everybody wants their time off. But when too many people have their time off at once, you need people there to look after the patients. So sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. So working on finishing that at the same time. So lots to do.
I guess.
Yeah.
Is that 2 months? 2 months?
2 months. So now we're May, June, July. Well,
it'll be summertime.
Summertime. July will have.
Any holidays for you guys? Like, you know, try to incorporate these holidays with your work schedule somehow?
We don't do a lot of holidays. And, and people say, you know, you need to. I mean, they say you need to get away. And I mean, they are right. We don't really have a lot of downtime. And I. You know, always read lots of research and talk about downtime and family time, and that we work with our family, so it's a different kind of family time. We don't kind of have set holidays that we get together. We see each other all the time. That whole downtime of being able to turn your brain off is something we're not very good at.
I think it's called sleep, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called sleep. That's really it's one of my new hobbies is trying to get enough sleep. But we don't take a lot of holidays because we don't really want to take a lot of holidays. We really love doing the jobs that we do, and we do have a small little trailer that we can take away. And my husband and I were talking about trying to get away even just for a weekend, just to turn our brains off and get away from the business. Because even when you're in the house, you're still at the business. So you never get away from it.
True.
And that's really important. July is the annual meeting for Dairy Farmers of Canada. We go to that every year. It's in a different province. That's sort of our one holiday for the year. And this year it's in Edmonton. So we get my husband's got a cousin there we're hoping to connect with, and you get to meet new people, see new things. I always think if you go on tours and that, and you walk away with one new idea that you can incorporate in your farm business, it's been a success. So I always look at things that way of, you know, new things that you can take home and put into practice in your own business. Yeah.
Excellent. And 2 years. Oh my goodness.
Two years.
Who thinks 2 years ahead?
Yeah.
It'll be here before long.
Hopefully in 2 years I'll have a grandchild. That would be kind of cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool. Talk to my daughter about that. And my son, I guess. Yeah. 2 years, hoping my son's, I think him and his girlfriend, I think maybe in 2 years we may have a wedding. I don't know. Our business, we're working, like I said, our barns are full, so we're already now starting to plan.
How would you do this?
What we're going to do and how we're going to do it. I mean, when you buy out a partner, the bank really likes you, so the economics aren't quite there at the moment to do something, but I do see us expanding and using more technology to be able to help with labor. I mean, it's workforce is an issue. Like workforce, people understanding how to work with animals is an issue, right? And how to handle animals and where to stand and where not to stand, and animal safety, people safety. It's a big deal. And people talk about jobs in agriculture, and there's less jobs in hands-on because of technology. So I think we'll probably be incorporating some of that into our future plans. So.
Right.
Lots to do. So hopefully tour a few farms, get some ideas, chat with different people, learn from their mistakes so that we hopefully don't have to make them ourselves. That's always the good, that's always the hope.
Maybe a new car too, huh?
Yeah, maybe a new car. My car is... It's how old is it now? It's 7 years old.
So, well, that's pretty cool.
That'd be nice.
Now I'm in trouble.
Well, and maybe an all-inclusive week away from my husband and I to really recharge. That would be cool too. So we'll see whether that's going to maybe be in the plans or not.
I heard there's a convention at the Fiji Milk Producers Association. Is that true?
I'm sure there is.
Fiji and the Manilas.
I'm sure there is. Every country.
All those other exotic places.
Yes,
down there.
Yeah. we go to a lot of different meetings, and it would be nice to go to, you know, it's sort of like when we go out for dinner. My criteria is it doesn't have a drive-through. So that we actually go in and sit and talk. Right. And so I think when we, you know, I love going to some of the meetings and meeting people, but it's not really downtime. So to go someplace where somebody brings you your meals and stuff like that would be kind of nice, but we're not something that's a huge interest right now. But we need to do it for our own peace of mind. I know that. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those things, and no wonder you feel optimism as you should, and that's good. And with that is probably a wrap for our show. So I just want to, Janet, thank you so much for coming in today, being a great guest, bringing some great music, and telling us stories for our interest and our urban listeners' interest. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I love talking about agriculture, so it's pretty easy topic for me.
Great. Yeah. So with that, folks, we'll see you next week in 6 days and 22 hours. And if you eat this week, thank a farmer. See you later, and bye for now.